Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Listen, we stuff this podcast with ads like Jonathan Sullivan used to stuff his face with hot dogs during the pregame for Saints games. If you don't like the ads, sign up and become a patron today. Patrons get access to this podcast ad-free. No ads ever. And they get the Booze Bundle welcome box, 4 swag items, amazing, and a Saints player card, and you get access to the Discord channel. Why wouldn't you do it? It's $10. You're practically making money. So do it today. Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up to become a patron. That's saintshappyhour.com.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome into a special pre-holiday edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast. It's grade time. We got a grade and assess blame on what the hell happened against Kansas City. But before we get to that, Andrew, I got to let the people know we are giving away a special Christmas discount. If you sign up annually before Christmas Eve, you get 2 months freaking free. Jenny, John, Hakeem, Lauren, they all did it. They get 2 months free, and they get
my wife
shipping them a booze bundle. That's like a third month free. Sign up annually, because once Christmas comes, this discount's gone, and we're not running the where you get 2 and 3 months free. We're not running that baby for a long time. So you should sign up and take advantage of it. All right, Andrew, it's grade time. And the Saints against Kansas City, let's start with the bad first, unfortunately. The offense was bad, and I saw you gave Drew a D+, which is a horrifically low grade for him, probably one of your lowest ever. And I think, as I thought about it, it's fair because he was so terrible to start. But if you graded it in like two parts and he was like on the quarter system or whatever, was the ending where he was throwing to little Jordan Humphrey and the offense was looking okay, is that Drew good enough for the Saints to win in the playoffs?
You know, those situations are weird in the sense that defenses are playing you differently. You know, they're trying to tackle you in bounds. They're trying to keep the clock running. So you get more favorable matchups that way. And you know, I think in two-minute drill, you always see Breeze perform at a higher level. So I don't know that you can draw too many conclusions from that. I think the biggest thing is you see that throw to Emmanuel Sanders, the 51-yard pass. And that at least shows you that he can still make those throws. And that was an impressive throw, and he hit him in stride, and the air yards were there, right? The arm talent, that's what everyone talks about. So the fact that that play was made, that right there is at least encouraging in the sense that the arm power is there. I think it was less about that. And look, 1 for 11 on third down. I did think he had some accuracy issues. I'll be honest, Ralph, he was fortunate to not have more interceptions in this game.
God.
He threw in a crowd. He took some risks he doesn't normally take.
Well, I'll say this, and people got on me on Twitter because I made a joke. I was like, listen, Drew throwing in the quad coverage and not getting an interception, that cancels out Anzalone not falling on the ball. Like, that ball wasn't intercepted, I have no idea. Like, that was a, I don't know if he, and the thing is, Andrew, I don't think he was trying to throw it away. He was trying to get it to Cooks to where he thought Cooks could go and high point it and make the play and nobody else could. It was a horrifically bad decision.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I think when you look at you mentioned this just at the beginning. You know, he started 0 for 6, and it was really shaky. And as the game wore on, he got more comfortable. He started to take some hits. Some of those hits were really scary, by the way. They took him right at
ooh,
the ribs.
Some of them were not. That, I mean, you want to talk about scary? Those were like that's that. Well, keep going. We'll talk about the offensive line in a second.
No, I just think. Michael Thomas being available would have made a big difference. And when you talk about a 1 for 11 on third downs, that's the first place he's looking. And that's how he would move the chains normally. And instead you're trying to throw to Juwan Johnson. And there were four targets to Juwan Johnson, and one was a slant route. One was an out route. And it's just like, it's timing stuff. It's the depth of his route. It's how he breaks out of it, and just the corner was all over him because the route was really poorly run, and you could see the frustration on Drew Brees' face. And I mean, I'm sure we'll talk more about Jared Cook in a minute, but it's just I just feel like Traquan Smith dropped the ball on third down. Like, the guys were not stepping up for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they have these three receivers that they've just elevated off the practice squad. Like let me tell you something. If the Saints had Taysom Hill playing in this game, it would have been a disaster. Like, the Saints' offense at this point, with their the skill positions they had at wide receiver, were barely NFL quality. And, like, they need to get Kenny Stills up in here, like, today. Like, he needs to be on this roster. He is unsigned. Get him in there. Their wide receivers are a mess.
Well, I know they shipped him away. They traded him, so I agree with you. I mean, they're down four guys. They're down Deontay. They're down Michael Thomas, and neither of those two will come back before the playoffs. And then on top of that, Marcus Callaway's on IR, and then Traquan Smith went down in that game.
If they could possibly kiss and make up with Jimmy Graham before Green Bay paid him ridiculous money, they can kiss and make up with Kenny Stills. Like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. They traded him away, and I know Kenny Stills wants to come back because he said so on Twitter, but I know that he caused some issues in the locker room, and they felt like he had some maturity problems. And my understanding is Brees wanted him gone. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was a rumor that was circulating.
Well, I think one thing I will say, though, is Kenny Stills with the Saints and Kenny Stills now, like, he's a completely different person in that you can see the growth of him off the field. Like, he's involved in social issues. He cares about it. Like, I just think maybe he was just, like, he came into the league and he wasn't.
Yeah, and yet he was just cut. So,
yeah,
you know. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just want to say it makes total sense on the field, especially if he's eager and wants to come back. But the only real justification you could make if he doesn't come back is that clearly the Saints just don't want to deal with him.
Don't want him. I'm just saying it's desperate times. It's desperate times.
No doubt.
The offensive line, Andrew, held up okay. I mean, I feel like Kansas City, their plan was press man, pressure up the gut, which is a basic premise against the Saints. It's been the way to beat Drew Brees for 15 years. So it's not like it isn't some sort of special formula that Steve Spagnuolo cooked up that Tony Romo wanted to make him out to be fucking Tom Landry inventing some new defense. But, well, it isn't. But I was surprised a little bit that the center of the line, it seemed to hold up. Now, is that a case of just me not understanding that Drew Brees gets the ball away quickly? What did you see from the internal offensive line and then the offensive line as a whole?
Yeah, I went into this game kind of expecting them to play poorly, especially after the Eagles game. And just on the eye test after watching the game, I would have said, yeah, I don't know that the offensive line played that well. And when I went back and watched the tape, I was actually encouraged and surprised to see that for the most part, they played pretty good.
Yeah.
So surprisingly, you know, in the third quarter, Armstead had a bad series. Otherwise, he was pretty good. Ramchek gave up more pressure than I'm used to seeing. And Clark, I mean, Frank Clark's a good pass rusher, but they were giving him some help and some chips with Latavius Murray. I almost called him Ladavius. But, yeah. But No, I thought – so the tackles maybe had a little bit more issues. I thought the interior played well. And I give a lot of credit, actually, to Andres Pete, because we've all been on him and killing him, and I know fans hate him. But he played in this game. He got injured, and he gutted it out. He came back in clearly limping, clearly affected by whatever injury, foot injury he has. But he played through it, and he wasn't great, but he didn't have a colossal mistake in this game. He didn't just get beat off the line of scrimmage, and I thought he played about as well as could be expected, considering what he's going through. So McCoy, I thought looked closer to normal.
That's good.
And Ruiz had an encouraging performance. Really, the only play with Ruiz was just a holding penalty on the screen to Murray, which was, you know, he got beat, and he just pulled the guy. But other than that, I thought Ruiz had an encouraging game. So all in all, I look at the offensive line, especially on the heels of how bad they did against the Eagles, and I feel encouraged that while they're beat up, they played hard. And that's kind of a common theme throughout, Ralph, like just micro, like big picture, looking at this game, I thought the effort was tremendous.
They fought like, you know, it wasn't a life or death game for the Saints, because look, they're in the playoffs, and that's what they fought like a team that was 8-7 and playing a juggernaut, and they were like, we got to win this game to go to the playoffs. They fought their absolute guts out, and that's why, like, after the game, like, I wasn't mad. Like, the defense was tremendous. And before we get to your grades, I gotta fire up the X-Files music, Andrew, because let me tell you something. The Saints defensive line kicked the ever living shit out of Kansas City's offensive line. Patrick Mahomes just covered up all the flaws, right? Kansas City got destroyed, their offensive line. They had no holding penalties. Get the fuck out of here with that, NFL. You cannot tell me in a game where it would have been one thing, Andrew, if Kansas City was winning the line of scrimmage on offense and they were dominating, then you'd be like, well, they don't have any holding penalties because they're just kicking the crap out of the Saints. No, it was the opposite. The Saints were whipping them. Not a single holding penalty. Get out of here with that NFL nonsense. And I know, Saints fans, we get a little conspiracy laden, but I believe it. I believe all the conspiracies after that.
Well, the disparity in holding, somebody tweeted this, there was a disparity between number of holding calls against you versus holding calls on your opponent. And I think actually it might have been in our Discord. It might have been surprising. But I think, you know, yeah, look, maybe it's the Sean Payton thing with pass interference. Maybe the refs have an axe to grind.
Totally.
Are the Saints the most disciplined team? No. I mean, look, they have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. That's all I really need to say there. Yeah, Carl Granderson and Cam Jordan, they both had personal fouls that are easily avoidable. And just those are the kind of plays that will lose you football games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they've got to have discipline. No excuses. And the defense – look, the secondary is handsy. They play physical, and there's some officiating crews that are going to let them get away with that stuff. And there's others that – and this was a crew that called things a little tighter. So I get all that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just we're getting called for holds, and then I just see it happening on the other side where their offensive line is caving in and they're grabbing whoever they can to try to stop the Saints' pass rush, and no flags are getting thrown. And I guess it's the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, Mahomes, superstar treatment.
Well, you know, the NFL
maybe
will say,
anti-Saint. I don't know. But
the NFL will say we've de-emphasized holding. You de-emphasize it. Jesus, did you do away with it? But listen.
De-emphasize unless the Saints are playing offense, clearly.
Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
We'll give the people a little sneak peek into the world behind the scenes of the podcast. You know, me and Andrew, we get on the call a little bit before, and we talk, you know, Andrew writes his grades, and I go over him, and I'm like, hey, this is what I'm going to ask you, and this sort of thing. Andrew took my panic down from like a 10 to a 0, because I told Andrew, I was like, listen, they got Trey Hendrickson. He got hurt yesterday. He's got to be okay. And you were like, he's okay. He just got a stinger, and that relaxed me. He is, Andrew, you know, his season this year, it's gone from, hey, this is cool, this is fun, to, hey, it's a unicorn season, they can probably let him walk. You know, now, I'm going to be, and I know he's probably, there's a 90% chance he's going to leave, and he's going to get $70 million from some team and all that, but I'm going to be sad. He was a monster yesterday, and it wasn't backup dudes from Kansas City. It was Eric Fisher, the number one pick in the draft 1 year. Like, he was just, they had no answer for him. It was, he looked like the best pass rusher in the goddamn sport.
And his sack numbers support that. Nick Underhill just tweeted something that he's tied with Aaron Donald for the lead in sacks with 12 and a half. But the guys that are around him, which is Za'Darius Smith and TJ Watt and Donald, those guys are all around 750 snaps. Trey Hendrickson is at 535.
Wow.
So he's got more than 200 snaps less than those other guys, and yet he's still tied for the lead. So what more can you say? Yeah, at some point this stops to become a unicorn. This stops to become an aberration where he's just gotten lucky this year, and it starts to become, what if he's just a dominant player? What if he really is this good? And we know he was that good at Florida Atlantic. I mean, I think he had 17 sacks. I mean, he was close to leading college football 1 year, and in sacks he had a ton. But I didn't know if it would translate to the NFL, and yet now I'm starting to see that maybe he can replicate this. I mean, shoot, he's been doing this every week this season.
Yeah, I know he's got a stinger, and the Saints will probably rest him out of abundance of caution, but I bet you $1,000 that dude wants to play, because his awesomeness can be directly traced to the playoff game against Minnesota last year, where he wrecked their tackle, and he was unblockable. And ever since that day, he's basically been this force of nature, right? So he might be like, Sean, I know I got a stinger, but you got to shoot that thing up. I got to play and go make this money.
The pass rush was absolutely phenomenal. And there's a number of guys. Actually, Malcolm Roach, Dave's UDFA son, I thought had some good moments. I thought Shy Tuttle was excellent. Sheldon Rankin seems to be moving really well. That's really encouraging. Carl Granderson was I gave him, I think, an A-minus because of a stupid penalty on special teams.
Andrew, I think Sunday was the greatest UDFA adopted Sunday we've ever had. Like, it's not even close.
No, yesterday was UDFA adopted Sunday. Let's be honest. But Granderson was phenomenal. I thought Cam Jordan played well before he was ejected. Davenport had some moments, although he didn't finish well. He had some a couple times.
How much do you grade against that Davenport? And like, I feel like, and people got on me on Twitter, but I didn't care. I said, listen, that pass rush the Saints had yesterday, it would have eaten alive any quarterback, not Mahomes. And I include Rodgers and Russell Wilson in that. Like, that's just Mahomes did things yesterday that no other quarterback in the NFL would have done to the Saints. You give me that pass rush in a playoff game, I think the Saints win, as long as their offense doesn't crap all over itself. Like, that, the defense was that good and the pass rush was that dominant yesterday.
I probably don't watch Mahomes as much as I should. But you know, this was a chance to kind of review him and then watch tape on him. And my God, man, the thing that's just shocking is that his technique is not very good. Like, his arm angle is frequently changing. He's throwing off his back foot. He's throwing like falling sideways. and just his ability to put the ball wherever he wants, notwithstanding. And to see him get hit, to see him get pressured, and it not really affect his performance that much. He comes back on the next play and makes a great throw. That's just how good he is. So he's phenomenal. And, you know, he has a great feel in the pocket for pressure, and he just has good awareness, and he moves well. And, you know, he's not like maybe Lamar Jackson in terms of explosiveness, but his ability to climb the pocket, to feel pressure, to escape and avoid, he's a slippery guy.
Yeah, it's just the touchdown.
That's
the
crazy.
Second one to the receiver that I've never heard of was sick. He's going backwards, and he throws like this little like laser beam to the back of the end zone where like the dude just and there's like I don't know, like if you're the Saints, you're just like I don't know what to say, like that. The dude's just a wizard. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, the only guy that I've seen that can throw like that is Rodgers, and he's like a tick better than that.
Yeah. So, but the defense, man, I thought the coverage was mostly fantastic. You know, Kansas City only had like three plays over 19 yards.
Well, I mean, they played a too high safety look, and they dared the Chiefs to throw. I mean, they dared them to run. I mean, they put eight guys back and cut. They basically said, we're going to rush four this whole game. We're not going to blitz. I mean, I think I counted two or three blitzes the whole game. They were rushing with four, and it's pretty remarkable just how much pressure they were able to generate with this game plan. And, you know, the Chiefs are able to get some yards rushing, which is to be expected because that was the game plan. But I thought it was a really effective game plan in limiting what the Chiefs' passing game could do to them.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is with the coverage of the Chiefs is if the pass rush is even 25% less, Mahomes would have lit them up for like three more big plays. So like, even though the plan doesn't feel like maybe it was an amazing performance. It was just tremendous in every way. But going forward with this defense, Andrew, what did you see from the secondary? Because we just spent and gave, you know, the pastor all these praises. What did you see from the secondary? Because like you said, they were playing too high. They didn't blitz, even in spots where I thought they might, where it'd be like, oh, it's 3rd and 15. Maybe you rush him and maybe try to create a big play or make him get rid of the ball quick. Dennis Allen like fought back his urge, right, to blitz in these spots where the Saints always blitz right on 3rd and long in different spots. They held back and didn't do it. So the secondary, what did you see from the safeties, the corners, against the Chiefs?
Yeah, well, Marcus Williams, he has a low ankle sprain, so hopefully he'll be back soon. But I thought he played very well. That was encouraging. I thought Lattimore played very well. That was great to see. I thought Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was exceptional. And those are one-on-one matchups where those guys were winning. You know, not a big surprise, but Malcolm Jenkins gave Travis Kelce a lot of cushion. And forced the Chiefs to kind of settle for the underneath stuff with Kelce, and then he would run up and make the tackle. So, you know, Malcolm Jenkins gave up a lot of first downs, not his best game, but I thought he fared a lot better than he did against Darren Waller. So, you know, you'll take that. It was a tough matchup for him. Janoris Jenkins wasn't great. But, you know, I think everyone in the secondary had their moments. I would say the only guy to me that just felt outclassed was PJ Williams. He was the one where when he had to come in for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, you know, CJ's absence was felt, and when CJ came back, the defense started playing better again. So that was probably when PJ Williams was in the slot, that was kind of a hole and a weakness where you didn't feel like the defense was maybe as good. So they're going to need all these guys healthy in the playoffs.
Ho, 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 fellas. Naughty or nice, 'tis the season to perform. You are in luck because Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate man's hygiene bundle and makes for the perfect gift. Imagine opening an attractive box that says your balls will thank you with the most sought-after gadgets and scents a person could find. Included in this new package is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual blade system. Look, guys, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose nose hair is a major turnoff. Why not use the best tools for the job here? This bundle includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package. Let's not forget their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Get the Performance Package now and receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The Performance Package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer and is hot off the shelves. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for making our holes look sexy.
Final thoughts before we get out of here. Listen. It seems bad, you know, because, look, the Saints have lost two in a row. They're not going to be the top seed. They're struggling to even be the two seed. You know, they got to beat Minnesota and beat Minnesota or Carolina to win a four straight division title. So it seems badly. But you know what? It's like you said on our Instant Reaction podcast. Look at the NFC, dude. The Rams, who everybody thought maybe was the second best team, even, you know, ahead of the Saints to Green Bay, they lost to the Jets at home, and I don't care if there's no fans or they're playing in a sandlot. Like, you lose to the winless Jets at home when you're in first place and you know you have to win. So the Rams, they might be not as good as we thought. Seattle, they are not nearly what they were. Like, Russell Wilson, his MVP talk is dying. Their offense is struggling to score. They can't run the ball. Arizona, their defense is kind of a mess. The Redskins, they don't have a quarterback. Their defense, fine. Like, my point is, with the Saints, is beat up. And as much as we worry about the injuries, I know other teams are going to be excited to play the Saints because they think they're beat up and they think Drew is, you know, is washed and his ribs are hurt. But I'm telling you, I don't fear none of these teams in the NFC. None of them. If the Saints,
the way the Saints are playing right now, and if you look at both the Eagles and the Chiefs games, I think they made it clear that they can hang with anyone, especially if they're healthier, and they can lose to anyone in these playoffs. So that they could play any of those teams you just listed and get their teeth kicked in if they play poorly.
Well, I mean,
I don't know that they'll get their teeth kicked in, but they could lose to any of those NFC teams that are in the top seven. They could lose.
I mean, they could.
And they can also beat every
single one. They could finish up 11-5 in the number two seed and play Arizona or the Bears in the first round of the playoffs. And they could lose just like they lost to Minnesota because they turn the ball over three times and they miss a bunch of kicks and they give up a special team touchdown. But also, if Drew Brees can conjure up a God mode performance, they could run the Cardinals and the Bears out of the fucking stadium. So, like, the variance is wide. But that's okay because it's a one-shot deal and it's the playoffs. And I'd much rather the variance being wide than, like, you go into the playoffs and you're like, there's no shot. They have no
shot. The silver lining is they just played what, to me, is clearly the best team in the league. And I say that because they're 13-1 and they won a Super Bowl last year. And that no team is playing at a higher level than the Chiefs just in terms of winning every single week. And that's because they are the best team. And to lose by three when you were 1-for-11 on third down and – had time of possession was 41-18. When it's skewed that heavily and you're losing by three, and if Alex Anzalone falls on the ball, I mean, that's a 5-point swing, you know? So maybe the Saints win this game and it's a different conversation if he just falls on that football. So I just can't help but feel like they didn't look great. It wasn't pretty. But the Saints, I don't know how these playoffs are going to go, and they may be one and done. But what I feel confident about after watching that game is that they're going to fight like animals. The defense, even the offensive line, and Andres Pete, as much as all of you hate him, it would have been very easy for him to say, you know what, these fans are on me. I'm not going to show any more bad tape. You know, everyone's killing me. Everyone criticizes me. Well, why even go out there? But you know what? He clearly banged up, clearly affected, could barely move, and he's like, nope, I'm going to go out there and give it my all. And this team Look, it's I respect that out of Andrews Pete, and I think fans that have been banging on him should too. And, you know, it's one of those things where I just think this team has a great locker room culture. They're going to fight their ass off. They may make some mistakes. They may not have the offense and the firepower with all these injuries to win, but I do know that you're going to get a great effort from them, and that's all you can really ask for.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
You know, and final thought, and then we'll get out of here, is if you think about it, the most Saintsy thing ever would be the Saints to lose their final four games, limp into the playoffs like a dying dog at 10-6, and then roll off three straight wins and get to the Super Bowl. And we're like, of these four teams that we've watched the last 4 years, this is the one that did it in the playoffs. Not the ones that were rolling and winning and looking amazing going into the playoffs. It was the one that looked like it could barely freaking stand up, and they're going to the Super Bowl. Like, to me, Andrew, that would be the most Saintsy thing ever.
Yeah, and of course it would have to include a walk-off playoff win that is just so fluky and terrible, and they had no business winning.
Of course that's what it means. But yeah, I'm here for it. So everybody, this is free, but you should become a patron. We're the best Daily Saints podcast on earth. Sign up, use the Christmas bonus, get yourself 2 months free, treat yourself to a late holiday gift. Everybody have a happy, merry holiday season, Christmas, and we will see you after the Saints Vikings on Christmas Day.